بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وافضل الصلوات وتم التسليمات على سيدنا محمد وعلى صحبه أجمعين. ثم أما بعد، so Ramadan كريم. Welcome everyone to this blessed month, the month of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, the month of رحمة and the month of مغفرة and the month of عتق من النار, the month of mercy and forgiveness and emancipation from hellfire. So in this series, inshallah, we're going to look at some of the spiritual dimensions of our worship, particularly those that are related to Ramadan. And our scholars have mentioned that the path to God is of two types. Something called the Sharia, or the outward acts, which include the five pillars. So, Shahadat an la ilaha illallah, and the Salah, the prayer, fasting, as we're fasting in Ramadan, Zakat, and Hajj. And this is based upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his hadith, Bunya al-Islamu ala khams, that the deen has been built upon five pillars. Additionally, when they looked into the desired outcomes of our ibadah, of our acts of worship, they found that we are on a path or a journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this journey is a path of knowledge of God. So it's not a journey of covering physical space. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is munazzah. He is, physical space and physical time are inapplicable to Him. However, our knowledge of God, in as much as that He reveals Himself to us, is a path that we can traverse. وَمَنْ نَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. And so they stated, based upon this verse of the Quran, and whoever prohibits their ego or their nafs from the hawa, from caprice, from passion, women desire, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Then the desired outcome or the result will be Jannah. And they said the Jannah is of two types. Jannah al-Na'im or Jannah al-Ma'arif. Jannah al-Na'im, the next life, Jannah, in the afterlife, and the Jannah of Ma'arif, or the Jannah of knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the main obstacle then in knowledge of God in this life is our own selves. And for this reason, it is things like fasting and like praying and like atikaf, which is a type of seclusion during Ramadan, and some said outside of Ramadan as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, فَلْيَكُنْ خَيْرٌ أَوْ يَصْمُتْ. Say something good or don't say something at all. So also the imsak or the siyam of the tongue, or the fasting of the tongue, has been mentioned. And on the Prophet ﷺ also talked about zuhd. And when a man asked him, how do I have the people love me, and how do I have God love me? He said that, izhad fi dunya yuhibbuka Allah, izhad fi ma'indi nas yuhibbuka nas. Have zuhd, renounce the dunya, the lower life, the life of worldly accumulation and aspirations, and God will love you. And renounce that which other people possess, and the people will love you. So they deduce from this that the spiritual path then is about showing restraint in four major things, or having a paucity in four major things. So they said, قِلَّةِ الْقِلَامِ وَقِلَّةِ الطَّعَامِ وَقِلَّةِ الْأَنَامِ وَقِلَّةِ الْمَنَامِ. So they said having a paucity in food, not eating too much food, having a paucity in speech, not speaking too much except if it's for good, having a paucity in sleep, so only sleeping when it is necessary, and we'll talk about that. And also a paucity of frivolous or unproductive human interaction. What the ulama have called al-qila wal-qal, that which is just about people gossiping and speaking of others and talking about other people's everyday things and what costume they were wearing and what colors they like and all these sorts of things. So they said a paucity in these four things are the foundations of the spiritual path. This was actually very eloquently and succinctly written about by the great Arif Billah, Sultan al-Arifin, Khatim al-Awliya, وشيخ الأكبر محيدين بن العربي, in his Risala حلية الأبدان, translated as the four pillars of spiritual transformation, even though the Arabic title kind of indicates talking about al-Abdal or al-Badal, those people who are in a maqam or a high station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that was indicated in some of the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what we're going to try to do in the four sessions during Ramadan is go over one of each of these four particular foundations. So they being samt or silence, uzla or detachment or seclusion from unproductive human interaction, al-jua or hunger or relates to fasting, and then the last one for sahar or having a paucity of sleep or remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the night or having a vigilance of God when others are not having a vigilance of Him. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِسْفَهُ أَنْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا أَوْزِدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَطِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. As mentioned in the Qur'an, spend some of the night in vigilance, in a night vigil, half of it or a third of it or more, and or less. وَرَطِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. And have this tartil of the Qur'an. And we find all of these meanings, all of these particular pillars, especially emphasized in the month of Ramadan. So certainly we have fasting, which relates to al-ju'a, which relates to paucity of food. Certainly we have a sort of spiritual seclusion or detachment, which can be the atikaf in the masjid, or a certain type of atikaf or detachment from all things that are haram to begin with, especially in daily interactions with people. We also have qillat al-manam, or sahar, in that we do stay up at night and we pray the Taraweeh, or maybe wake up later and we have suhoor and we pray the Tahajjud. So that meaning is also there. And then generally speaking, a samt or silence, the Prophet ﷺ indicated in some of the hadith that how many of the people who may fast from food and drink, but they don't fast from ghibah and namimah and lying and all of the sins of the tongue. So all of these meanings are there. And these meanings, if they're applied, then they really are the foundation of the path. And Ibn Arabi in the beginning, he talks a little bit about people's different motivations for why they do their ibadah. So we'll read a little bit from that. I'm not going to read word for word, but we'll read parts of it in the interest of time. So he says, Rahimahullah, wa nafa'ana bi ulumi fid dharin, ameen, wa radiyallahu anhu wa ankum. الحكم نتيجة الحكمة والعلم نتيجة المعرفة فمن لا حكمة له لا حكم له ومن لا معرفة له لا علم له فالحاكم العالم لله قائم والحكيم العارف بالله واقف فالحاكمون العالمون لاميون والحكماء العارفون بائيون. So he has some kind of metaphoric language in here. We're going to try to unpack it a little bit. We have the English translation, alhamdulillah, that's available. So he says, the hukm is the fruit of the hikmah or wisdom. And true knowledge or ilm is the fruit of ma'rifah or knowledge of God. Thus, one who does not possess wisdom has no true hukm or true governance. While one who does not possess ma'rifah or knowledge of God has no true knowledge. The one who possesses true governance or hukm and knowledge belongs to Allah, firmly existent. لِلَّهِ قَائِمْ. Whereas the one who possesses wisdom and gnosis, al-hakim al-arif, exists through God, بِاللَّهِ وَاقِفْ. So, here, in his own words, he states what many others have stated in other books. Namely, that there are kind of two broad paths to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a path of those of the murideen, those who strive, and those who continue to exist and see their acts and see their struggles through themselves and not through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which in of itself is an obstacle. So he later talks on about the abid and the zahid. So the abid is the one who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hopes that he will be recompensed, in the hopes that he will nail or get something of the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the zahid does the same thing. The one who renounces aspects of the dunya or renounces things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hopes that he will also avail himself or herself of Allah's reward. And those two things are not blameworthy, those things are praiseworthy. But there's a difference between one who uses the path of zuhud and ibadah, or is on the path of zuhud and ibadah, versus the one who is on the path of ma'rifah. The one who seeks Allah via Allah. The one who does not see himself as the dhakir, but rather as the madhkur. The one who doesn't see themselves as the one who is remembering God and the doer of things, but as the madhkur. The one who does not see what they are giving to Allah, but rather they see what Allah gives to them. The ones that see that their acts and their faithfully acts of obedience are not things that they are offering to Allah or things that necessitate reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather they see those things as signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. So they would say al-ibadat or al-amal alamat wa laysat mujibat. They are signs that you are on the path, not that they are taking you to the path. وهكذا. So لله واقف is the one who exists through God, versus the one لله قائم, the one who is standing before God or standing with God. So the one who is واقف is the one who is truly seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where they do everything with Allah and via Allah. They don't see that their acts are emanating from themselves, but they see them as a reflection or a manifestation of Allah praising Himself. So when they say Alhamdulillah, they're not saying I am saying Alhamdulillah. They're saying Allah praises Himself, but He is manifesting His praise via this faqir, via this haqir, via this poor and needy servant of Allah. Who am I who can properly praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this is the maqam of Nubuwwah. This is what the Prophet ﷺ taught us when he said, لَا نُحْصِي ثَنَاءً عَلَيْكَ إِنْتَ كَمَا أَثْنَيْتَ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ. We don't have the ability to properly praise you or to encompass all of the praise that you are due. You are to be praised as you praise yourself. So this path then, he goes on later to say that it is about following these four major pillars. And the first one that he begins with is a samt, or of silence. So he says, rahimahullah, as-samtu ala qismain. Samtun bil lisan an al-hadith bi ghayri Allah ta'ala ma ghayri Allah ta'ala jumlatan wahida wa samtun bil qalbi an khatirin yakhturu lahu fi an-nafsi fi kawnin min al-akwani al-badda. So the silence or the samt, which we should distinguish here, is different from sukut. Sukut means you are silent, and not by choice, but either by choice or not by choice. It's not specific. Amma samt, that means you are being silent on purpose. You are taking silence as an act of worship. You are taking silence as a position. Just like when the Prophet ﷺ, in the hadith we just mentioned, فَلْيَكُنْ خَيْرٌ أَوْ يَصْمُتْ. Say something good or remain silent. So when you choose silence, for example, in the face of those who would seek to provoke you, those who would seek to elicit a type of unagreeable reaction from you in order to take advantage of you or in order to satisfy their own whims and desires, then silence is something that is praiseworthy. Sometimes silence is called for, sometimes it's not. But Imam Ibn al-Arabi, he says there are two kinds of silence. Firstly, silence of the tongue, which consists of not speaking of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala altogether. And secondly, silence of the heart, which consists of refraining from all thought occurring in the soul that concerns any created thing at all. The one whose tongue is silent, even if his heart is not, lightens his burden. When someone's tongue and heart are both silent, his inmost consciousness or his sir is manifest and his Lord reveals himself to him. The one whose heart is silent but whose tongue is not is a speaker with the tongue of wisdom. The one who does not possess either a silent tongue or a silent heart is under the domination of Satan and an object of his ridicule. So looking at silence of the heart and silence of the tongue. Silence of the heart, as he describes here, is to abandon thinking about or entering into your inner consciousness anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the silence of the heart. But as if he indicates that this is preceded by the silence of the tongue. And they say that the outward is a banner of the inward. So someone whose tongue is uncontrollable and speaking in a manner that's out of turn, that's emotive, that's reactive, clearly indicates most of the time that their heart is that way too. However, for some, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep their heart silent, right? And what it means by silent, it means silent from everything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then their tongue will speak. He says this is a person of hikmah, this is a person of wisdom, and what they say comes out as a wise thing, and it comes out as a way for irshad, for guiding others. Whereas the one who neither has a silent tongue nor a silent heart, whose thoughts are consumed and busy with everything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then their tongue follows suit, then they will be someone who's under the domination of Satan, wa'azu billah. The silence of the tongue is one of the abodes of everyone and of all seekers, as-salikun, or al-muridun, as we said earlier. The silence of the heart is one of the distinctive qualities of those brought close, or al-muqarrabun, who are people of true contemplation. The state that silence brings the seekers is safety from all harm, while the state that brings those brought close, or al-muqarrabun, is intimate converse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So silence is a protection. We say that silence is the protection of the ignorant. It's the shield of the ignorant. So no one knows your ignorance unless you start to speak. And then when you start to speak, then people know, oh, wait a minute. So it's like a protection. But silence of the heart is something different altogether. It means that your heart is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's taking its beats with the tajalliyat of an isma al sifat. It's taking its beats with the manifestations of Allah's names and attributes. So this is one who is in conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And such a heart that is silent, we should not think of it as a heart that is alone. Oftentimes we think about silence, we think about solitude, and immediately what occurs to us is loneliness. And even those words in our modern society, isolation, silence, they have negative connotations. And people tend to think that it's a lonely way of being. But what he's describing here is a type of company or suhbah, or let's call it ma'iyya, of being with, that is unrealizable except via silence of the heart. Right? And this is ma'iyya with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet ﷺ said to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq in the cave, and when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, all they have to do is look down and, you know, and they'll see that we're in here. We have no more hiyan, right? We went 3 days to the wrong direction. You know, Mecca, Medina is to the north. We went south to throw them off the trail. We had the flock of sheep walking back and forth over our steps. We had that in Natiqain, Asma' bint Abi Bakr, the one of the two knots, used to tie her belt and bring provisions for her father and to the Prophet ﷺ, hear about what's going on with Quraysh. We did all of those things, all of those asbab, all of those means that we could take. But now here they are at the foot of the cave, and all they have to do is look down. And the Prophet ﷺ replied back to him, La tahzan, inna allaha ma'ana. Inna allaha ma'ana. La tahzan. Do not grieve. This is not a time of loneliness or isolation or feel that we are alone. We're certainly not. Inna allaha ma'ana. Allah is with us, both of us. So this ma'iyya, they said, it's a ma'iyya of being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's also a ma'iyya of being with Allah via the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Inna Allaha ma'ana," he's with the both of us. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the both of them were with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're not going to realize the ma'iyya, right, the being with of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unless we also have this being with of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How can we be with the Prophet ﷺ? By following his sunnah, by loving him, by seeking his intercession, by keeping him alive in our hearts, by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his prestige and his status, by his jah. All of these things will lead to having a ma'iyya via the Prophet ﷺ that will lead us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he describes them here, Ibn Arabi, as al-muqarrabun, right? Those people are brought close, and the muqarrab, right, is ism maf'ud, which means they have been brought close. So they're the muradun. They're the ones who are sought. So when does a salik become a muqarrab, or when does a salik become a murad? When he realizes that he is not seeking, but he is the one being sought. And when you realize you're being the one being sought, and that the seeking you think you are doing, the suluk that you think you are doing, is merely an illusion and a mirage, and then you get to the point where of realization, and you understand that actually the whole time your suluk, your seeking, is Allah seeking you. Is Allah bringing you to Him. then how can your heart be filled with other than gratitude and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving you this great, great, immense blessing? And so thereon after, you will not be seeking a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be seeking just to show your gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then try to follow in the footsteps of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who worshipped Allah based upon gratitude and love, not because he was seeking something from God. Just like Aisha remarked to him, why do you stand so long in prayer and your feet swell and you tire yourself out and you have been forgiven all of your sins and you are sinless to begin with? So her question was a question of someone seemingly was asking, why do you continue to seek when that which you seek has been given to you? And the Prophet mentioned back, I'm not actually a seeker. Those weren't his words. But he was saying, I am the one who was sought. So should I not be a grateful servant? Should I not show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so when your days and nights are filled with contemplating the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your heart is filled with the love and mahabba and gratitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how could you be alone? How could you feel lonely? How could you feel that you're isolated? How could you feel that you have been abandoned or forsaken, when all that fills your heart is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But if your heart is filled with people, and is filled with al-khalq, and with creation, and what they can do for you, what they can take away from you, how they can give you something and take away things from you, then you will feel nothing but alienation and isolation. Because people have been designed to disappoint, and they'll only be disappointing to you. But the one who will never disappoint you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He who maintains silence in all states has no speech except with his Lord. Complete silence of the tongue within is impossible for the human being. Thus, if he withdraws from talking with others in favor of converse with his Lord, he becomes delivered, brought close, one who is endorsed in his speech when he speaks, and does so according to what is proper and hits the mark, for he speaks anillah, right, out of God. One of the arifun, he said, for 30 years, I was speaking to people, and they thought I was speaking to them, but I was actually speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's talking about a state where you see that the one speaking is actually Allah, and the one receiving the speech is actually Allah at the same time. So your kalam, your speech, then will only be for guidance. It will only be to bring islah. It will only be for something that the sharia sanctions, something that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something that is completely in line with the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لا خير في كثير من نجوم إلا من أمر بصدقة أو معروف أو إصلاح بين الناس. هذا كلام الله. There's no good. لا خير في كثير من نجوات. For the intimate conversations, most of the time, except if they speak of something of a good, something of a common good, or إصلاح بين الناس, or rectifying between people. This is the speech of أهل الله. This is the كلام of أهل الله. This is the speech of the people of God, who are closest to God. They bring people together. They bring hearts together. They don't split hearts. They don't make camps of people. They don't have ta'assub or partisanship for a particular side over another side in order to bring people apart and rip them apart. That's not a'raf billah. That's not for people of ahlillah. And unfortunately, we have people who claim such things, who claim that they are people of Allah, claim people of deen, but yet they split people up. Yet they have this partisan attitude about what they do and how they go about doing things. But clearly the one who is from Ahlillah speaks anillah, speaks of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he does not speak out of passion. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. About the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not speak out of his own whim, but it is a sign of revelation. Is this also for people who are not prophets? No, we don't say we speak out of revelation. But we can say that people can speak out of ilhad. They can be inspired. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's moving all of the moving parts. And He is the one who is antaqana. He is the one who allowed us to utter and pronounce and to say and to bring good to others. It's only the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So speaking according to what is proper is the fruit of silence. What a beautiful statement. What an amazing statement. Let me repeat it. Speaking according to what is proper is the fruit of silence. So you can't speak properly unless you learn how to be silent properly. If your first instinct is to speak and not to be silent, then you're speaking out of turn. Those who speak only speak because they feel they are compelled to do so, because they feel that it has to be said. Not because it's going to satisfy something of your ego inside, and you have to say, I'm the one who has to tell this person, you know, what time it is and what's going on and how to do things and so forth. But rather, they will feel that this is something I'm compelled to do, and it's not about me. It's about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So speaking according to what is proper is the fruit of silence, which is refraining from error. And in the same vein, one cannot be a proper leader unless you know how to be a follower. If you're a leader and you're never a follower, or you don't know how to properly follow, or you think you're a leader and you're no longer a follower, you're not a leader. The best leaders remain followers. Followers of who? Their own leaders. And if the leaders that they physically followed are passed and no longer around, they still have leaders. Is the Prophet ﷺ not their leader? He still remains their leader. Are the Sahaba not their leaders? They still remain their leaders. Are the Tabi'in wal Arifun and all of these people their leaders? They still remain their leaders. So, speaking according to what is proper is the fruit of silence, which is refraining from error. Conversing with other than Allah is an error in every case. Conversing with other than Allah is an error in every case, and speaking of other than Allah is bad in every respect. So when you speak, you're speaking via or through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as the verse stated, لا خير في كثير من نجواهم إلا من أمر بصدقة أو معروف أو إصلاح بين الناس. Those three things. أمر بصدقة, a charity, something good. أو بخير, أو معروف, common good. وإصلاح بين الناس, or rectifying between people. Or فائدة علمية, something that someone can benefit from, that can take knowledge from. Other than this, it's not from what the verse has been talking about. Other than this, it's not speaking in the manner that is being stated here. God says there is no good in much of their secret discourse except for one who enjoins almsgiving or what is equitable or promotes reconciliation amongst people. The same verse I just recited. Observing all their conditions. Allah also says they were given no order except to worship Allah, pure in devotion to Him. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Connected to the state of silence is the station of inspiration in its variance form. And silence bequeaths knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Silence itself bequeaths knowledge of Allah. How so? If one's heart is busy with other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, إِنَّ فِي أَيَّامِ دَهْرِكُمْ نَفَحَاتٍ أَلَا فَتَعَرَّضُ لَهَا. In your days you will find these spiritual breezes. Should you not avail yourselves of them? And the way that you can avail yourself of it is come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with an empty cup, with silence of the heart, not having empty chatter in your heart, not having misgivings, not having misconceptions, not letting the whisperings of Satan penetrate your heart. When those things are there, then the heart becomes ready and a viable receptacle for these nafahat, for these spiritual breezes that Allah sends all the time. We think they only come once in a while. They are constantly there. Every single infinitesimal moment in time is a tajalli, is a manifestation of Allah's names and attributes. Every single infinitesimal moment in time is kun fayakun, is be and it is. And so some people can see the magnificence and the glory of that all of the time, in the simplest of things, in the raindrop, in the leaf falling, in the pitter-patter of steps, walking. All of these are tajalliyat. While others may be put in front of what we would think would be the most magnificent volcano or waterfall or something of that nature, and nothing penetrates their heart. They just see something and think, oh, well, nice, act of nature, real good, let's go watch Avengers after this. So, you know, in this brief session, we just wanted to point out some of the main things, one of the main points concerning silence and samt. It's something that is takes somewhat of a spiritual riyadah, a type of spiritual purification to get to that point. But in this blessed month of Ramadan, which is also a blessed month of imsak and siyam, which is refraining from those things that are normally halal, then min bab awla, or of a higher precedence, we should take advantage and avoid those things that are normally always haram. And those would be all of the manifestations of the sins of the tongue, which include backbiting and slander and calumny, and even speaking about just frivolous things. And even when you do think about or speak about mundane things, there should be a hadaf, there should be a goal behind it. Yes, indeed, Anas ibn Malik, he mentioned about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that when we spoke of dunya, he spoke with us. When we spoke of days past, he spoke with us. But هَذَا كَانْ لِلْمُوَاسَةِ. There was an objective for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he was giving muwasah. He was kind of being endearing to his companions. He was participating with them. Not for the speech of itself, but his goal was his companions. So we should always keep the goal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should always try to find an intention behind the thing that we say. If we can't find a good intention before we say something, then that's a good indication that you're not supposed to say, that you're to avoid it. And certainly we should avoid speech when we're in a compromised state. What's a compromised state? Certainly when you're angry, things will come out that you normally will not say. Certainly when you are grieving, things will come out that you normally would not say. And I would even say, certainly when you are in a euphoric state, sometimes things will come out that normally you would not say. So the lesson then, or the moral of the story, is that we try our best to maintain our poise and our tongues, and not to bring harm to others, and to hope that inshallah will engender a silence of the heart, samt al-qalb, that will lead us to have this more intimate relationship and converse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa sahbihi wa sallam. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.